The following was at the Frying Pan Meeting, the second Sunday in June 1976.
I love that hymn. We use it at some of the churches very often. And I especially
have sometimes paid attention to the last of the sixth verse,
where he said,
"But all my Lord, such news and near he called in Zion Street, that some poor soul fell in despair and died at Jesus' feet." What a wonderful expression of the grace and the mercy of our God. Now, I'd like for us to turn to hymn number 379.
And I hope it expresses our feelings this morning. When Newton said, "Hungry and faint and poor,
behold us, Lord,
again
assemble at thy mercy's door, thy bounty to obtain. Thy word commandeth nigh, how we must starve and do. For we no money have to buy, no righteousness to flee. The food our spirit wants, thy hand alone can give. Oh, hear the prayer of faith, and grant that we may eat and live." Let us stand and sing that. Together at this place with prayer and supplication the doctrine given those that implored of thee. We come, Lord, one more time, thanks to Mr. Rehearse, thanks to thy goodness and thy mercy, thy blessing, the multitude of thy blessing, that we realize that we are not worthy to receive the very least of them. May Lord, thou hearest, reveal thyself that thou be under heart in our hearts, causing us to realize that we are in our flesh, dead in this house of heaven sin, and in that condition without God,
without hope in the world.
But thou hearest,
reveal to us that we were dead in sin, and then brought us to that wonderful and glorious condition that our Savior said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
If we're not
deceived, O Lord, we are.
We have received wonderful, gracious things from thy hand. That where we were dead in sin, thou hast quickened us to know that we were dead, quickened us to give us hope. And we were included in that number that thou didst give to thy Son before the world began, and for whom thou didst send thy Son here into this world to redeem us from all their sins and all their iniquities. If we're not deceived, O Lord our God, thou who hast commanded the light to shine out of darkness to shine in our hearts, to give us the light to the knowledge to the glory of our God in the face of Jesus Christ. O Lord, we come as those who desire that we might be blessed to thy presence, to thy spirit this morning. For we have learned long since that our blessed Savior called the God of the Spirit. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We come therefore, Lord, praying according to thy will, that thou wilt pour out thy spirit in our hearts this morning. Draw in the wanderings of our minds from the vain, perishing, and foolish things of this life. That we might feel the presence, O Lord, in some wonderful way. Have our hope confirmed in our very soul. That we might, Father, be assured that that hope that we have is a good hope, so that we might be enabled to look beyond this life with its toils and trials and troubles and conflicts, and be assured that that hope is from thee, and that thou wilt keep us all the way through our earthly pilgrimage, giving us such things as our knowledge we stand in need of, until we shall in thy own time depart this world and
come to be with thee.
O Lord, now we know it shall be out and
assembly.
How dependent we are upon thy grace and thy mercy, we pray thee to be with us this morning. Not only with we who are here, but with our people, wherever they may be, gathered together throughout the whole world. Because we know that thou hast the people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And that thou knowest and thou lovest them, and thou knowest who they are, where they are. And they need thy grace, O Father, just the same as we do. Be thou with us, therefore, Father. Be with us as we leave this place today. Season, I thank you, Father, and giving us grace each day, sufficient for whatever the day of duty may demand of us. Lord, put in thy hands. We have nothing in ourselves to trust in. And so we know with thy servant of all that it is by the grace of God that we are what we are. Confirm our hope this day, our Father, if it is thy will, and enable us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and contend on this truth without shame, and thou hast once proved that I shall. Try to be with us. May thy name have all the praise, honor, and glory. Now and evermore, we pray to Jesus Christ. Amen. I suppose that sometime or other, and I hope it could be this morning, there will be a major wonder about where we came from, and why, and the things that we experience in this life, and what our end should be so far as this mortality is concerned. We realize that our God has given us everything we ever have, given us hope of eternal life, that he has enabled his holy men of all, holy ones of all, to write, to move them, so that all that God has been pleased to reveal to us is written, and also is confirmed in our hearts by the same Spirit that enabled the Lord's people to write in the Old and the New Testament. And so we're glad. We're glad that they wrote. And I have made this statement, I'll make it again, some may not have heard it, that the reason we believe that the Old Testament is what is the New Testament is the Word of God, is because that same Spirit, as I said, has been sent into our hearts, will be, has been, will be sent into the hearts of all of the Lord's people, whom he chose in Christ to put a word of God. And it is because of that same Spirit that always teaches the same identity. So many times when the scriptures are opened up to us, we can say, Amen. And we can rejoice that those, even in the tribulation, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and also rejoice with them when they lifted up and feel the very presence of the Spirit of God and are kind to us that He is mindful of us. And last Sunday, I said, and I suspect that I have said it before, that in the absence of the Spirit of God in every age of the world, that men have formulated their own doctrines, their own philosophies, and without the leadings of the Spirit of God, they believe, they say. However, contrary, those things may be to the Word of God. But they believe those things. And we see it all around about us. We hear it and hear this source and that source. But those who have been taught the Lord, as a matter of fact, those whom God chose in His Son before the world began, and He has blessed with our spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus according as He has chosen them and Him, we realize and know so well, as one of the writers, namely Moses, said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in my quoting of that, I like to say, in the fullness thereof, although that is not a direct quotation, and that first verse of the Bible, that it's an evident fact to my own testimony in the Scripture. Not only created the heaven and the earth, but also,
in the beginning,
I want to go back to that, in the beginning, God created the
heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth,
and the fullness, in my feelings of it,
the fullness thereof.
And so, my brethren and friends, we have it laid down here, in reality, the origin of the heavens and the earth and everything that is. Now I know, and I've been taught in school sometimes, those years back, that men believe that that there are certain things
that have gone from small things into larger things. Some believe that man was evolved from some small something, and that he grew and grew. Evolution brought about man as we are today. But those who have been taught of the Lord know and believe that God formed man as the dust of the earth. And that was the origin of man. So we are well contented to believe what the Spirit of God says and confirmed in our hearts oftentimes, rather than to believe what men say about it. You know, David, I think it was David, said, there's a way that seemeth right to men, but the end thereof, the ways of death. The things that men do and expect to be rewarded for it, that is, keeping the law of Moses, doing what they call good works, refraining from doing things that they feel are evil, and trusting in God's work that they do themselves, trusting that the Lord will look upon them and see that they want to be saved, and that he will, therefore, receive those offerings that they make of their self-righteousness and their good works. I know how he's got that as he is. And you will find that those things are taught today, and that men are teaching our children, as well as all of us, that God gave the law of Moses for the other purpose. I said, man, how that he can be saved. That how that he himself can make the atonement for the sin, his sin, by the keeping of the law. But I've pointed out many, many times to you, and I'm sure, I hope you won't become discouraged that I should repeat it. But it needs repetition, it needs to be repeated, because God did not give the law of Moses for the purpose of showing men and women how that they can, by keeping those things,